Good. This morning I'm wanting to share a message entitled Simply Hope, a message of hope. And you know, when we think of the word hope, a whole bunch of terms and ideas come to mind. And I read a whole bunch of definitions of the word hope. And in the end, I pretty much came up with my own definition, so I hope you don't mind that. But hope essentially means to desire or expect something good that is still yet to come. Okay, when you're going to read all the fancy dictionary definitions, essentially when you break it down, hope is a desire or an expectation of something good in the future. And so a simple example is little Johnny that says, "I hope Dad will come home early today so that we can play ball before his meeting this evening." Okay, so it's an expression of a desire or a positive expectation in the future. It's not yet taken place, but there is this desire for it to take place. Okay, everyone with me? Pretty simple. Hope. In one sense, it's a commodity. It's like a substance. You can, in a sense, weigh it, measure it, and you know when it's there and you know when it's not there with an individual. You see it on their faces. You hear it out of their mouths when they are people of hope. You see it in a nation when it's a nation of hope. I think about 2 months ago, I think all the load shedding and the potholes and the crime maybe made us feel a little bit, you know, like we're walking around with a heavy burden, and in many senses we've got a right to walk like that. But last week, Sunday morning, it was a different story, okay? Every newspaper, every news channel, I mean, it went on pretty much the whole week. I mean, some of us are really, really riding this wave of Book Friday, Book Tuesday, Book Wednesday. You know, it's just we're milking it because we love that sense of, you know what, maybe it's not that bad. Maybe this nation is not going to the dogs. Maybe there's hope. Hope for our nation, hope for our country. That's the beautiful thing of something like sport. It just unites us on a level that politics and religion, for that matter, it can't do. It just gives us a sense of hope. Hope is not to be confused with wishful thinking. Hope is not pie in the sky. Hope is not finger crossing. Hope is something deeper. And like I said, you know when it's there and you know when it's not. The amazing thing about hope is you don't need a lot of it to change. You can have a glimmer of hope and it can turn a situation around. We hear it in people's mouths. We see it on their faces. I remember a couple of years back driving in Paul, and it was a hot summer's day, and I was coming down the boulevard near the mall there, kind of a straight road, and I had the windows down because I was driving the old Merc, and the old Merc, well, it had aircon about 30 years ago, but the last 30 years it didn't have aircon, so I've got natural aircon coming through. In fact, the Merc was quite a special. Its heater setting couldn't switch off. So in summer, winter it was lovely, but in summer you not only got like 40 degrees in Paul, you got like number 5 on the heater as well. So, really, really hot car. So I'm sweating it out going down the road, and I'm driving, and obviously because the windows are open, I can obviously hear to a certain extent. And as I drove past this pedestrian walking past on the sidewalk, I heard this guttural cry, just this gut-wrenching cry of somebody who's just desperate. And it moved me. I've shared this testimony before. It really, really, it moved me, and moved me so much that kind of at the circle, I did a U-turn. I was like, that person needs help now. And I turned around, and I eventually saw the lady walking past, and she's crying as she's just walking down the road. And I'm not in the habit of stopping next to the road and talking to ladies, but this one... This one I knew, oh my goodness, I need to ask her, are you okay? And I stopped the car and I asked, "Are you okay?" And she said, "No, I'm not okay." And I said, "What's wrong?" And she said, "I don't have any money and my baby needs nappies. And I don't know what to do." And it's not something I often do. I said, "We're going to buy nappies now." And we went and bought nappies and a couple of other things for the house. And I slowly saw how somebody just stabilized. She was completely destabilized. And she was not trying to catch somebody's attention while somebody's driving past, because no other car would have heard it. I heard it because the windows were down. But I heard that cry from deep inside. And the cry was, "I've lost hope." Yeah, and it's terrible when somebody really loses hope. And when there's no expectation of something better soon, it's a terrible thing. You see, hope represents possibility. Hope represents a better tomorrow. Hope represents a brighter future. I remember speaking to David Anger when he was still involved with the youth and doing really amazing work in Groendal and some other parts of town with the youth, and we were speaking about why do young children fall into drug addiction? Why do young girls get a baby before they hit 18? Why are these perpetual cycles happening, and why are we aware of this kind of downward spiral where one generation makes the same mistake, falls into drug addiction or falls into fatherless or gets a child out of wedlock? Why are we witnessing this over and over and over again? Why is it so prevalent? And David just said to me, it's when people and young people lose hope of a better future. They think, "That's it. I'm not going to get out of this cycle. I'm going to repeat the same mistakes as my parents. And there's no hope of a better future." And so it happens. And so I remember sitting at that stage, and me and Jolene had some conversation like, how do we change this? How do we pitch hope to a generation that still needs to come through? That hasn't even taken the big knocks in life, yet they're already falling into hopelessness. And because they are, they make the wrong choices that emphasizes and just pins them down into the same rhythms and patterns that others struggled for and in. And from time to time, we see people breaking through and shooting out, and you're like, "What did you do differently?" And often when you speak to a person like they say, "You know what, when I was in standard 6 or standard 8, I don't even know what grade that is, I'm from old school, grade 10, grade 8, whatever, somebody came to my school, a doctor, a lawyer, a nurse, a pilot, and they came to speak to us about the possibilities of you can be this." And that's Dion's word this morning. You know what? Something new can happen. If you just work hard, if you just get good grades, if you just hang around with the right people, don't fall into the wrong friendship circles, don't fall into addictive stuff. If you focus and you work hard and you make education a priority, your life can change. There are bursaries, there are programs that will help you get access to a brighter future. And for a moment, they get hope and they latch onto that hope and they say no to their friends, they say no to drugs, they say no to abuse, and they say, "Yes, maybe I'm going to take the chance and hold on to a possibility." They hold on to hope and their lives change. Hope is extremely, extremely powerful. The Bible also has a lot to say about the concept of hope. I'm going to read a couple of scriptures. It's not a long message this morning. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13 says, "And now these three," everyone say three. "And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love." And Paul's obviously speaking to the Corinthians church, and the context is how powerful love is and how outstanding love is. And you can have this and you can have that, but if you don't have love, you're nothing more than a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. But at the end of that love statement, he makes these three absolute permanent statements. He says, and these three remain. Faith is a big deal. Faith is like way up there. I mean, Hebrews speaks about the people of faith, Abram and all the people that have gone before, the people of faith, the giants of faith. Faith, well, there is no real Christianity without faith. Faith is, yes, it can be part of the big three. Love, I mean, God is love. God so loved the world that he sent his only son. Love belongs in the big three, faith and love. But hope. Have we ever thought about the concept of hope being right up there? The permanence of hope, these things remain, faith, hope, and love. Do we live as people of hope? It's a real big deal, hope. I don't know about you, but I haven't heard too many sermons about hope. I've heard many about faith. I've heard many about love. We need to love. We need to keep the faith. But when last did you hear a sermon on hope? This morning you're hearing one. Amen. Let's unpack this a little bit. Hebrews 6:19 uses the imagery of a boat and an anchor for the soul. And it speaks of Jesus as our forerunner, as the one that's gone behind the veil, that's torn open the veil, that's blazed away into the Father's presence so that we too can enter the Holy of Holies. And so the word says here, we have this hope. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. Don't you love words like this? These are absolutes. These are non-negotiables. These are the absolutes of the faith. Nothing can shake this. If you've got this hope in Jesus who's gone ahead of you, that you don't need to fight and perform and earn brownie points with God to say, Jesus, here I am on Sunday morning. Nothing we can do makes us more presentable. We do not earn our right to take a seat at the table. The only thing you need to do is come behind Jesus. Follow the trail that he's blazed into the Father's presence. The word, in fact, says, now with confidence we approach the throne of grace. Confidence in ourselves? No. Absolutely not. Lest anyone should boast of their good works. No. We have grace through faith in Jesus. And so I just love walking behind Jesus. Where's Jesus going? Because if I walk behind Jesus, then I'm safe. In the good times, in the bad times, Jesus, where are you walking? I'm following you. If I'm with you, I'm safe. See, Jesus creates an incredible slipstream for us to walk in. It's when we say, Jesus, I'm going down this path, see you later. That's when we get in trouble. In him, we live and move and have our being. Outside of him, we bump our heads. Amen. Amen. So hope, this hope of Jesus, the one that's gone before us, it's an anchor. It should hold you in the storms of life. The imagery is of a boat. Anybody been on a boat when there's no anchor? You know, you can be up a creek without a paddle. You can get into serious trouble if there's no anchor. Because the one thing we're guaranteed is the tides will change. The water will change, the water conditions, the wind, the waves, it's going to shake the boat, it's going to move the boat. And if something is not holding the boat, well, you will go wherever you are drifting. And so many people drift spiritually in this life and they wonder why. Lord, I'm not feeling really that great today. I feel really far from you. It's because we're not anchored in Christ. There is an anchor firm and secure for our souls. And the word soul speaks of our will and our emotions. Sometimes we're up and down with our emotions and we wonder, God, why are my emotions like a wave, up and down, this way and that? One day I'm good, one day, the next day I'm falling apart. What is happening to me? You need to anchor your soul in the absolute knowledge of Jesus. Firm and secure your relationship with him. Let's go to the next scripture, Hebrews 11 verse 1. The famous faith scripture. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for, certain of what we do not see. Let's just meditate on that a little bit. Faith is being sure of what we hope for, certain of what we do not see. The scripture is actually about faith. Faith is the following. Do you know that you can't have faith without a hope? Faith is being sure of what you hope for. Which means, if you don't know what hope is and you have no hope, you automatically don't have faith. Because you can't be sure of hope. Is everyone getting this? It's pretty important. Let's remind ourselves of what hope is. Hope is a desire or an expectation of a positive outcome in the future. So faith is being sure of a desire or a positive outcome that is still yet to come, that you can't see yet. And so if you can't desire a positive outcome for your future, you cannot walk in faith because you have no hope. Faith is being sure of what you hope for. John Piper says, faith, in the context of the scripture, is the larger idea, and hope is the necessary part of faith. Faith is the large idea. Hope is the necessary part. Hope also means you have to wait for something. Hello, all the impatient people, me included. Okay, we're trying to have faith. We're trying to have hope. Hope means you have to wait for something. It's being sure of. Romans 8 verse 4. For in this hope, we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. We wait for it patiently. Just re-emphasizing the point. If you've already seen it, why need hope at all? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. We wait with patience and joy for our hope to manifest. Romans 12 verse 12 says, be joyful in hope. What an incredible thought. Be joyful in hope. While you're waiting, be patient. While you're waiting, be joyful. Lastly, we must remember that God is the God of hope. The word calls him the God of hope. Romans 15, 13 says, may the God of hope, everyone say the God of hope. This is our God. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope. Wow. Guys, we must realize this. We are made in the image of God. God's heart for us is that we should be a people of hope. He is a God of hope. So may the God of all hope, the God of hope, fill you with joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope, so that you may abound with hope. God's heart for us is to be people of hope. He does not delight in a desperate bunch, in a bunch that have no hope. His heart as a good father is that we will not just have a little bit of hope, overflow, abound with hope. Is anybody mildly excited about this? Okay, overflow with hope. How? By the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is a key part, because sometimes when you've taken one knock after the other, one hospital pass after the other, you don't feel very hopeful. When your circumstances are screaming at you that your car's breaking, your finances aren't working out, somebody's sick in your family, somebody's not getting saved, you've lost your job again, then you don't feel hopeful. And so that all that's left is to run back to God and say, God, you are the God of hope, and your heart is for me, not just to have a little bit of hope, but to actually overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so sometimes when you say, God, I'm not feeling it, I'm not feeling hopeful, the numbers in my bank balance, it does not spell hope. It spells panic. Help Jesus. So then we need to go to God and say, Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, help me get it. Help me get it. Help me to become and transition from a person of no hope to a person of hope. And then I'll close with this scripture, Jeremiah 29:11, the famous one. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Plans to give you hope and a future. God's heart has always been and will always be for us to live as people of hope. Amen. Amen. We're just going to watch a very short little video then. Now and then I'm going to wrap it up for us. Thanks, Anita. Amen. Let's close our eyes. Father, we thank you that you are here, that you know the state of every heart and life in this building. God, you know where each one is at. Father, you know our fears, our anxieties, the highs and lows of this week, God, are not news to you. You know everything. And so we come to you this morning. We choose to run to you this morning, not away from you. And we choose to be honest because you know everything already. There's nothing that we can hide from you. So Lord, as you gently knock on the hearts or the doors of our hearts this morning, Father, we choose to open up and say, come in. You know what's going on in any case. And Lord, we invite you, Lord, into rooms and chambers, Father, that are perhaps filled with doubt and fear and anxiety and a lack of confidence. We invite the God of hope into our hearts so that we may overflow with hope. Yeah, and so just as every eye is closed, I just felt there are a couple of groups of people here this morning. And the first group is those that have either lost hope through a variety of circumstances and stuff that's happened. Another group that's possibly even got no hope. It feels like I don't have any hope. This morning I've got very little hope. If that's you this morning, why don't you just raise your hand so I just know who I'm praying for. You feel like no hope or little hope. Thank you for those hands. Thank you for those hands. There's many of us. And the other group of people I want to pray for this morning are those that don't know how to find hope. They're perhaps not hopeless, but they don't know how to dream and desire a better future outcome. And you're like, Lord, I don't know how to do this. I don't know practically how to live as a person of hope. If that's you, why don't you just raise your hand so I know who I'm praying for. Thank you for those hands. Anybody else? As I was praying for this morning, I just felt the Lord remind me that He's the God of restoration. He's the God who restores. He can only restore if something's broken, if we've broken it or we've allowed it to become broken. He's the one that comes in and fixes things. As I just feel the Lord saying, He wants to fix things in our lives this morning. And so, Lord, we bring all of these things before You, and we choose to respond. We choose to acknowledge. And so if you here this morning do raise your hand, I want you to be really brave. I feel the Lord saying we must pray for you here in the front. So those people raise their hands, won't you be brave? Bring your things, come to the front. Let's give them a hand as they come to the front. Please come to the front. Everyone who raised their hands. If you haven't raised your hand yet, you're welcome to join them. And just before we pray for these people, I just want, again, want us just to remain in an attitude of prayer. If you're sitting here this morning and you're saying, Richard, never mind hope. I don't even know about God. I don't know if I believe. I don't know about Jesus. I'm not sure if it's real. And I want to encourage you this morning. This morning is a divine opportunity for you to say yes to Jesus. Say, Lord, I don't believe, but help me believe. So if you're sitting here this morning, you say, I've never given my life to Jesus. I've never said, Jesus, come and be Lord and Savior of my life. I surrender all. Or if you've done that in the past and you've run away, or you've backslidden from the Lord, and you want to come back, you want to make right with the Lord so that you know that your salvation is intact, that jou saak reg is met die Here. As jy vanoggend hierso sit, jy is nie seker waar jy staan met die Here nie. Jy wil seker maak, sê, Here, as ek vandag hemel toe gaan, of as ek vandag sterwe, waar gaan ek gaan? Ek is nie seker nie. As jy wil seker wees, wil ek vir jou vanoggend daai uitnodiging gee. I want to give you the invitation this morning to make right with Jesus. Say, Lord, I surrender all. If that's you, if you want to make right with God, just raise your hand so I can see who I'm praying for. Anybody like that? Thank you for that hand. Anybody else? Wonderful. We're going to pray for these precious folk here in front now, but I want to encourage you, if there are any other prayer needs or prayer burdens that you'd like prayer for, any other issues, please come to the front. Our leaders will be praying and ministering to people. To the rest of you, you're welcome to hang around in an attitude of worship. Otherwise, enjoy the fellowship and the tea and the coffee in the foyer. God bless you. 6 p.m. tonight, we meet again.